Hoffman, Gareth at Skewed and Reviewed here. We are doing the June 2015 Skewed Cast, wrapping up E3 with a look ahead at the San Diego Comic-Con that's coming up in a couple weeks. And with me, as always, is Justin from the Arizona office and Joseph from the Seattle office. And we're going to be talking about some DVD releases and, of course, all the good things in gaming, pop culture, and more as we wrap up June and look ahead. So before we get to the big news of the day, which of course is E3, wanted to let you guys know that from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment, Two and a Half Men, the final season, season 12 with Ashton Kutcher and John Cryer, is out. It has got enhanced picture and sound quality, as well as a very funny gag reel as part of the special features. Now, for anybody who may have missed the final season, this was the big year where Alan and Walden decided to pose as a couple in order to help Alan get out of another one of his predicaments. But of course, you know, when women show up, including their caseworker, as Walden tries to adopt, really makes things very interesting. Now, a lot of people said the show was kind of coasting at this point, but there were still plenty of laughs along the way for fans of the series who had followed along with it. Over two discs available, as I said, from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. You don't want to miss this one. Two and a Half Men, the complete 12th and final season, available now. Other DVDs and news of notes is The Lazarus Effect, which I recently watched from Fox Home Entertainment. And you can get it right now, not only on DVD, but on-demand services. Very interesting modernization of an old horror science fiction concept. What happens if you resurrect the dead? Now, unlike the old Conjuring evil spirits and the mummy, you know, resurrecting the mummy and things like that, the simple approach is what happens if scientists, meaning, well, to create a serum that restores life from death to allow emergency room doctors more time to retrieve and assist patients who have basically suffered traumatic injury, have died, but yet there is still a chance to save them. And of course, the great supernatural aspect of what happens to the soul in the moment of death, what happens if you bring, you know, essentially the soul or a remnant of the soul back. And there is some very heady psychological stuff in there. Unfortunately, in parts, it did get a little predictable in terms of the fact that you knew that once something was brought back, it wouldn't quite be right. And there seemed to be a middle transition that was kind of missing. It just went from this really good premise to bang right to the conclusion without a, you know, longer transitional part. But it was still an entertaining enough film, and I do recommend it for those who like supernatural horror films. It certainly was more thought-provoking for me than Flatliners was, and that itself back in the 90s had some interesting stuff. So check that out, The Lazarus Effect from Fox Home Entertainment. We're also going to have some other interesting DVDs and other features to cover in a future Skewed Cast. But guys, E3 2015, what did you like? What surprised you? And what were you shocked that wasn't there? And Justin, why don't you start us off?
Well, so if you remember last time, I kind of had some crazy predictions. And well, I guess my predictions were fine, but the things that I wanted to see flat out just weren't there. So Nintendo, I think everyone kind of who followed the event kind of agrees that they sort of disappointed this year. And that's sort of, well, we'll kind of talk about that later, but, Nintendo's kind of thing is that they only want to focus on stuff that they're releasing this year. And it kind of just so happens that, this is kind of one of their down years. So really, like, of all their stuff, I mean, the only thing that was, like, pretty interesting to me was Star Fox, and that, you know, I have kind of mixed feelings about. I was really expecting to see a Metroid Prime game from Retro Studios, because they sort of insinuated that they would be showing something, but they didn't. So, and what they did show of Metroid just was not hitting on much. That said, I really loved the Sony presentation. I thought it was excellent. I was a little heavy on stuff that's, like, way beyond the 2015, like, this year. But like Last Guardian, I think Final Fantasy VII was completely unexpected. Both of those I thought were very, very interesting. I will definitely be following those. But I would say my favorite three games I think I saw with Doom, Fallout 3, or Fallout 4, sorry, and Deus Ex.
Oh, definitely some very interesting things there. And you mentioned Deus Ex, and we have a write-up on the page of the booth visit I did. Now, I don't know how much you guys are aware about the nanotechnology in the game. One of the features that they've given Adam is that he's got these like nanotech blades that generate within his body now, and one of the scenes that they showed us was that he's basically in a warehouse doing a stealth mission, and a guy came up and he just fires the blade right out, and it just impaled a guy right on the wall.
That's cool.
And they said that this there are these new features. We saw one where he went in combat and like this armor skin, went around him to help protect and stuff like that. So very, very interesting to see how that will all play out too, because folks of Deus Ex are definitely going to be looking forward to this,
Yeah.
without a doubt. Joseph, so what was up there for you?
Well, Fallout 4 is probably one of the biggest things that I was excited about, and to find out that it had a November launch date was just crazy. I think I was with most people thinking that it was going to be coming out next year. But to be that close and that pretty that close to finished off is just fantastic, and I'm looking forward to that one, and especially bringing back a lot of more options and adding new things in the future into it. Plus the fact that it's set in Boston, it hits home for me because that's where I'm from. So that's I think it's going to be very interesting to see the visuals, and a lot of speculation on whether or not you're going to get to actually play during the time before the bomb, before the disaster and everything went off. And I'm really interested to see how that's going to turn out. Last Guardian. Amazing graphics, like probably the best thing that I saw coming out of that show as far as showing the capabilities of the PlayStation 4. And what's really, really scary about that is it's only going to get better from there. It's amazing what they're doing, and if the history has shown us anything, it's just that they're going to figure out more and more ways to utilize everything.
Well, exactly. And on a side note on Fallout 4, what I found really impressive was not only is it coming out in November, they recently said, in fact, this morning it came out and late yesterday, they said it's pretty much done. There's just a little bit of polish to do on it now. It's, right now it's all a matter of fine-tuning and stuff like that. And what I find so impressive was up until about, oh, what, 6 weeks ago? Not even, about a month ago, it was still just a rumor. Oh, Bethesda's going to announce a new Fallout game. Bethesda's going to announce a new Fallout game. And for them not only to announce it, but for it to basically be all but done, and it stayed secret that long, that's an impressive thing in this day and age.
Exactly. I think the last thing I'm really looking forward to, well, I mean, there's other things like Tony Hawk Pro Skater. It's going to be nice to see that coming back, things like that. But and I
We have the
know you were
trailer going up for that too, by the way.
nice. And I know that Nintendo didn't have a very great performance or show out there, but I still am really. Anytime a Zelda game comes out, I'm excited. So the Triforce Heroes is coming out for the 3DS around Christmas time. It looks really fun. It's bringing back the co-op play, working through complex dungeons, puzzles built around all of that working together and everything. So I'm looking forward to that one as well.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely a very good point. They mentioned that. So, some people are going to say this. Let's switch gears and talk about Microsoft for a moment. People, I've had people give me some grief and saying, "Oh, you're a Sony apologist and you're this." And I said, what part of anything I said about the show was incorrect? I said Microsoft not only had a very impressive show, they had probably their best showing at E3 in recent memories. The only difference was, I said, as good as it was, I still think Sony gave a better show. And that's apparently one that a lot of people agree with. Not everybody, but I think, for me, it came down to it comes down to basically a difference in styles. Now, I think you guys remember when the Xbox One was announced. Do you guys remember that I said, for me, I need something more than a new Halo game and a new Gears of War games to get excited over. I need new franchises, new exclusives, AAA quality that I'm really going to say, you know what, I'm missing out if I don't get this console. Right. So, what did Microsoft do? Hey, we got Halo 5 Guardians. You all knew about that. Hey, we're remastering Gears of War. Oh yeah, there's another Gears of War coming. Trot out all these other games that are going to be available on other consoles as well. And oh yeah, you can play up to 100 old Xbox 360 games on your system this year. Now, here's the key. Old Xbox 360 games.
Yeah.
You know, already played them.
Right.
And if I haven't already played them, I don't want to play them. So, you know, yeah, if you own a large catalog of Xbox 360 games that you're still playing, great. But, you know, let's talk turkey here. If you own the games, you already own an Xbox 360. And, you know, I just wonder how large is the segment of people who do not own an Xbox 360, who do not own an Xbox One, that are going to say, you know what, I'm going to go buy this Xbox One, not only to play their games, but to play these old Xbox 360 games.
I think the target audience are those people who haven't purchased the Xbox One yet because they still have this full library that they are playing on the 360.
Well, exactly.
But the problem is, I mean, you're only launching with 100 games. It becomes a digital download. It's not like you can pop the disc in there. And the issue that I have with that is I installed two games on my dang thing, and it's up to 95% of the memory used already.
Exactly.
It's insane. I think before they did that, they needed to really figure out compression on that box before they could they say, oh, here's backwards compatibility.
Yeah, I had the same problem with, ironically enough, the Wii U. I mean, we had four or five games, I think, in regular rotation. You know, Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong, Tropical Freeze, Mario Kart 8, Zombie U, all of that on the disc-based versions. And, you know, Nintendo said, okay, hey, we're moving to this different way of doing things. We're going to send out a... a download code, and you've had those sometimes as well, Joseph, and you know exactly what I'm talking about when they send you out the code to download it. And it was for Bayonetta 2 and for Hyrule Warriors. Well, I can pretty much tell you, and we have the Black Deluxe Edition one with the extra space and everything. Those two games basically filled up the hard drive. I had to delete all the old content off the game just to fit them in. And then on top of it, one of them didn't even work right properly on the download. So, you know, you understand exactly what I'm saying. There comes a point when it's like, I don't mean to belittle anybody who has the desire to go and play these old Xbox 360 games, because certainly there's some fantastic games among them. But, you know, from my standpoint, it's like, it's not an incentive to make me want to go out and do that, because if I have a choice and I have $400 enough to buy one console, it becomes a big polar shift in terms of what is your priority. Do you want to have, especially, I hate to say it, but almost like the nostalgia trip of, look at all these great games from years ago that you can play. And, oh yeah, here's some new chapters in these game series.
Well, part of it also is that they're taking something that used to always be a staple, like just like a given for most consoles, and then they repackaged it, and now like they're trying to garner excitement about it. When way in the past, like it's always been that consoles always had backwards compatibility. It was only to like this generation that kind of stopped.
Right, and I think, well, you know, like our PlayStation 3 had backwards compatibility, but that was eventually removed via an update when it, you know, when it first came out, we could play the PS2s on it no problem. And then along the way, there was a firmware update that pretty much, you know, negated that aspect of it. And, you know, for, like I said, just wrapping the whole thing up, for me, it comes down to, it's like two different styles. One side says we're moving forward but keeping a foot firmly in the past, and the other side says we're going forward all the way out. You know, yeah, we've got PlayStation now, but if you really want to play those old games, hold on to your old console. And it's almost like you're at a point where you have to kind of decide what is most important to you. And I think Microsoft, to be fair, has done a good job in trying to address, I think, one of their biggest criticisms is that, you know, people loved the old games because in some ways, despite having a better selection of games, they haven't really had a signature Xbox One game that basically jumped out and people said, this is it. Because, you know, Titanfall and Rise Son of Rome and Dead Rising 3 are all available to play on PC. There's speculation that Halo 5 is going to be made available on PC at some time in the future. Same with Gears of War. And it sits there and someone told me, well, what guarantee do you have that Sony's not going to do the same thing and put all theirs out? And I told him, I said, I pretty much guarantee you, you're not going to see Infamous Second Son. You are not going to see The Order 1886, Bloodborne, Until Dawn, The Last Guardian. You're not going to see these on other consoles. That's not the way they do things. And they certainly are not going to be putting them out on PC. It's just not the way they operate.
Right.
And that's part of, I think, what the appeal is that you know, like, for example, role-playing games are not my thing, and side-scrolling jumps in terms of my first priority. But yet, if you do a good one, like Fallout, like The Elder Scrolls, you can pull me in there and make me a fan of that series. And that's the thing. And that, you know, it's like the other thing. And, you know, Bloodborne, there's a prime example. Those type of games are like, oh, okay, those aren't for everybody. They're hard, they've got a, you know, somewhat complex storyline to them. But boy, if you got hooked on that thing, you can't put it down. And, you know, I think it's a matter of trying to offer something for everybody. And now you have this whole new battlefield with HoloLens versus Project Morpheus. And it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. But, you know, what can you do?
Yeah.
What can you do? So moving forward, guys, what were you disappointed in at E3 2015?
Nintendo?
Yeah, Nintendo.
I think we covered that.
Yeah. You know, there was so much to focus on with all the good things that came out. It was really hard for me to pinpoint anything that I was necessarily disappointed with other than, like we said, you know, like I already said, is the lack of Nintendo showing there. And I was really hoping to see the new Zelda game and other things like that. They did a lot more talk than they did show, and everything else was just so just astounding. You know, I think this was probably one of the best years that the E3 has had.
And, you know, what I was telling Justin before we got going here was that there are things that I don't want to say fly under the radar, because there's certainly quality games. But for example, let's take a look at Square Enix. Now, you and I remember watching, you saw the Hitman game last year. We played it. Remember the one for the tablets, the sniper game?
Yeah, that one was kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, now they make big announcement at E3. You know, it really got its new Hitman game coming. And I was like, oh, there's a new Hitman game coming. And then I see the console, and it's like, you know, the tablet. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's that one that we played already. All right. Still fun, but sure. And then they sit there, and they go, boom, Square Enix. Boom. You know, Deus Ex. Boom. Here's Just Cause 3. Now, I knew the Just Cause series. And I'm watching this thing on this big screen going, this thing looks amazing.
Yeah.
And, wow, look at that. You have the option to choose what your actions are in various aspects of the game. Like, we went into this oil refinery thing that we had to take out. And you can go in guns blazing, but in doing so, you can, you know, alert all the military and make it a big firefight. And you can do this and you can do that. Or you can go in all nice and quiet with your paraglider use your grappling hook, pull out a couple of support struts, use your glider again, get out of there, and just wait until gravity does its bit and the thing implodes in on itself.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, and that's pretty impressive. And they were like, you know, that is a really impressive explosion for a video game. Oh, look at that. You jacked a car. Oh, hey, I'm hooking a helicopter with a grappling gun. And I go, now here's a franchise that people might be aware of on a peripheral basis that might be, you know, that are going to say, you know what, I'm going to get involved in this and I'm really going to do that. And in doing so, I think I want to know more about the series.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the cool thing about it. You know, you looked over at some of these things like Bandai Namco. You know, they're out there and they've got Godzilla and they've got their game. So they take us in a room and there they are, right there, the guys behind Dark Souls 3. And they sit down there and they roll the game out. And, you know, the guy's telling us through an interpreter about how it's challenging, but they want to keep the sense of accomplishment. And you see all the things that the series is famous for. Surprise attacks, gripping monsters, new moves, more violent weapons, you know, everything from a short bow to a gigantic broadsword. And you see the challenge of it, and you think, yeah, this is the guy that also gave us Bloodborne. Yeah, he knows something all about challenge. Dark Souls, Dark Souls 2, Bloodborne. And you can see that there's this real creative vibe there that's going on this year, that people are not just, you know, people, oh, well, it's sequels. Yeah, but there's innovation to them. You know, case in point, let's take a look at, game that I always enjoy, new Call of Duty. So we have our look at Black Ops 3. We get through with Black Ops 3, and for the first time that I can remember, they said, hey, why don't you go play it? Take us around the corner, pop us down in front of a PlayStation 4, showing off the new partnership they have with them, and they put us in the multiplayer maps. And all of a sudden, it's like, hey, look at this. There's specialist characters in multiplayer now. And, oh, wow, look at this. I got this special pistol, one-shot kill, that you get as a bonus reward. You don't have to pick it as a kill streak. You don't just pick it up. Little circle in the screen. When it fills up, boom, it's right there for you. Devastatingly fun. Played, you know, kill confirmed. Played a hardpoint. And, you know, the maps, the gameplay, if you played any Call of Duty game in the last decade, it's going to seem familiar to you. But guess what? It's still fast. It's still smooth. The customizations are great. The new weapons were fantastic. And as I said, I, you know, had that wonderful moment where you come into a room and lo and behold, all four of the guys have their backs to you. And it's like, two grenades and a loaded machine gun. What more can you ask for? So, you know, little things like that. And then, you know, I wanted to use that to transition to two games that I haven't really talked about a lot. But I know people at first might, you know, you're going to have two camps on this. You're going to have people going, oh, wow, awesome. And then you're going to have another group of people going, eh, well, you know, they kind of ran it into the ground the last iteration of it. And that was Guitar Hero Live and Rock Band 4. Now, Guitar Hero Live has an interesting little new wrinkle to it. You essentially play it like you're on the stage. Now, you know, we've all seen the colored frets light up. You have to match them and all of that. Well, what Guitar Hero Live has done is instead of putting five buttons in a row across the board, they have six right where your fingers are. Three up top, three right below them, white and black. And so you essentially have to remember just only white or black, but you have to know placement. Is this upper middle and then lower right? Is this two in the middle? Is this, is that, you know, that sort of thing. And you got to make sure, is this the black one that I'm hitting in this position or the white one, or am I hitting all both of them? And that the video around you is like of the band, of the audience. So like, for example, if you're hitting the wrong notes, you'll see the drummer like lean over and, you know, guy, what's wrong with you? Huh? What's going on? Come on, get it together. Stuff like that. And you'll see the people in the audience really getting on you a lot more than just the generic canned booze and stuff. So you have a more, you know, immersive effect that it feels like you're really there on the doing that. Now, when you get to Rock Band 4, I talked with one of the guys from Harmonix. We had a really nice chat, and he, you know, I told him, I said, why now? What caused you to come back now? And he said, well, obviously we wanted to do something for the new generation of systems. We understood that the market had become saturated with, you know, band and music type games. We wanted to take a break, but yet we wanted to make sure that we came back and offered something new. And in that, he said, you know, they went away. The last one had a keyboard in it. This one doesn't at this time. It was always very clear to say at this time. And I kind of joked with him. I said, you know, personally, just on a side note, I think it'd be kind of cool to do one with two or three keyboards where you could bring out old Depeche Mode, Erasure, New Order, stuff like that, and give people an option. Do you want to be like a Sith band? Do you want to do a guitar band? Mix it up, a combo like that. And he said, you know, these are all things that are really good to look at to the future. He talked about right now the focus is on a interactive experience of a group together. But they're not ignorant of the fact that with the Kinect, with the PS4 camera, that you could have band members in different states, in different countries even, that you can record your concerts and upload them. And he said, you know, he was showing me like a new voting system that they have to allow a greater selection of music. He talked about career modes where you could just go out and play, or you can take gigs for just for the money, which might cause dissension within the band. And as we started playing it, I'm like, okay, you know, pretty much standard, get the buttons, get the thing. And then there were these areas where there was no colors. And he said, now these are freestyle areas. You can just jam and do anything you want. These are for notes up on top of the neck. These are down here, lower on the fretboard. And he said, and we also have the same thing for the drums. So essentially, when you're out there playing, you can essentially go on a freestyle solo. No matter what you decide to do, it sounds good. And you could really get into it and do your performance without being constrained by having to hit the notes and stuff to make your solo sound good. And I said, there you go. That works. So, awesome. You know, progress.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then, of course, you talk about, you know, briefly, what are you going to do with these things here in terms of audio quality? And then, you know, that took me to going up to visit Astro, and they showed off the A50 headsets. They have this new one for the Xbox One that offers, you know, a wireless component. Of course, it is compatible with the other consoles. You can use it on the PC, that sort of thing. But they showed me, like, you know, a little a unit that you could plug it into the back of the Xbox controller, and it was still light but very effective. The folks at Plantronics, who we've all known from the Rig 7.1 surround sound, showed off a modular headset, which is really cool. There were different types of ear cups, and there was a flexible band, and it has like little brakes on it. So what you essentially can do is you can decide, I'm going to put the headband here, or I'm going to raise it up, or I'm going to put it lower. I'm going to put this type of ear cup on it. Oh no, I'm going to put this one. I'm going to make it tighter here, or I'm going to make it lower here. And it's a very modular design, essentially, where the headband is the piece, and the support band underneath it, and the type of ear cups and where you put them and the tension that you put in terms of how tight it's going to be is entirely up to you. And I thought, now this is a very interesting new approach in gaming headsets. So, a lot of progress in that regard as well. Because, let's be honest, that's what, you know, we put all the focus on the gaming, but we also have to pay attention to, you know, what are you going to use to make these games look and sound their best as well. So, interesting stuff. Now, did you guys get a chance to have a look at some of the other interesting things like Adrift?
No, I didn't hear about that one.
All right, yeah, this I did not get a lot of time with this one. We had Justin, when he was covering an event back east for us, he got a chance to have a look at this, and this is from 505 Games, and it's kind of like, I guess the best way to say it is you're on a space station, something happens, and you're free-floating. Well, now imagine slapping Oculus on yourself, and you're free-floating with that 360 experience of virtual reality, and you have to try to survive. And they had one out in the concourse. And they had it up on the big screen, and people were lined up to, you know, strap on the VR and go at it. And it was an interesting thing, because as I'm looking at this, and you have Microsoft and the HoloLens, and you have Sony and Project Morpheus, all I could really think about is this is how it's going to happen. This is the, you know, this is the evolution right here, that you have virtual reality, and by next year, we'll probably have these units on the market. And then we're going to start seeing the video game evolution of, guess what, now it's time to start putting virtual reality into the mix. So always fun to see how that plays out. So any other things that stood out to you guys that you wanted to make sure that you bring into the mix?
You know what actually like flew under the radar that I was kind of surprised at, that I actually didn't end up watching the demo for until today, was Metal Gear Solid. There just wasn't really, it didn't seem like there was just a huge presence for it. I may have missed it during one of the conferences, but I ended up watching its 40-minute little demo thing today, and I was actually very impressed. I think that's going to be one of the biggest ones of the year.
Oh, exactly. And see, and that's what just keeps making everything really, really impressive, is that there is always something new coming. And so, you know, and it's oftentimes it's the thing that you don't always think about, that you go, oh, is this going to be okay, or is this going to be something I want to see and play? And there you go. There you go. I mean, that's just the absolute beauty of it. Well, guys, I think we pretty much covered all of the important stuff that we hadn't got to. Of course, we have our in-depth review of E3. Various games such on the website at sknr.net. We have a full write-up coming in the June magazine. But of course, you know, guys, I can't leave without discussing that one little tiny game that was so insignificant nobody really paid attention to it, but it involved Star Wars. Yeah, you know. It's a shame nobody cared anything about this thing at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, the taking a walk through Echo Base and the frozen floor, and to go into the room and to sit there and to play this game. And you haven't lived until you've been next to a bunch of foreign journalists tearing loose into, you know, the Battle of Hoth. And, you know, it was a lot of fun, especially when you finally figure out your range of your weapons and... you know, let's just say scout walkers with grenade launchers and rocket launchers are a very good equalizer. Very good equalizer. As is the hide behind the dish laser, hide behind the tower laser, come out to the other side with a blast from a grenade launcher, and then start firing like crazy. You know, as I said, I told the guy, the technician and the developer, I said, and I'm not just saying this, I said, truly, this is everything I was hoping for and more, not just as a gamer, but as a Star Wars fan. And, you know, if the final game is anything close to the way that playable area was, I was just beyond blown away with how good it was. Just extremely impressive all the way across the floor. So, you know, keep that in mind. Star Wars Battlefront, definitely, definitely one not to miss. Well, guys, we are about 2 weeks. Oh, my God, 2 weeks from today, San Diego Comic-Con.
Jeez, man, it sneaks up quicker and quicker every year.
Oh, I know, I know. And, you know, I was telling Justin, what is so crazy about this one is, unlike most conventions where they, you know, you'll get an email from a company and they'll say, hey, do you want to meet? And you say, yes, I want to meet. And then, boom, that's it. You set a date and time, and that's done. Well, that's not the way they do things at Comic-Con. See, companies, studios will write you, and they'll say, hey, do you want to meet, or do you want to cover this thing? And you're like, yes, I do. And then they're like, okay, we'll let you know. And they're essentially fielding offers from all these people, so they put their little dream team together, as it were, based on how much space they have available, and then they let you know whether or not you get in. Now, some, of course, confirm you on the spot, but others do make you wait. Well, the problem with that is, I was just saying to my wife and others, I said, you know, it's kind of weird. Here we are 2 weeks away, and we've, you know, to be very honest, the biggest thing we had booked, confirmed, was Hannibal, and that got shot down because the series got canceled and is now up in limbo, but they've told us that the panel's been canceled. And, you know, we've had, tip our hands here, we've had WGN and Sci-Fi have had us do some pre-show interviews that are going to be going up. I can tell you this, there's a new show coming on the Sci-Fi channel, guys. $5 to $6 million an episode. It's the most expensive thing ever done on television. And interestingly enough, they film each episode like a standalone movie, even though it is intended to be viewed in episodic formats. But we'll have an interview with one of the stars from that coming up really soon. And, you know, all of this stuff starting to come, and you're like, dang, I hope we get this. And then at the same time, you're also going, man, if all these things come in at the same time, we can end up with some real scheduling conflicts and stuff like that. And, you know, Jen's already, Outlander. And I'm like, yeah, so on. Well, today we had one come through that I thought, you know, this is kind of interesting. We have Hulu has got a new comic series that they're going to be promoting. And we've had, you know, inquiries from TNT about The Last Ship and Falling Skies, and there's some other things. There's one that, you know, I'm really got my fingers crossed on, but I know demand's probably going to be through the roof on this one, is some piece of independent TV called Evil Dead or something like that. So it's like, you know, all things that you're going, wow, this could really work. So that's the beauty of it. And of course, we heard a lot of stories about, well, Paramount's not going to be there, Warner Brothers not going to be there, Marvel's not going to be there. And my response was, well, of course Marvel's not going to be there. What did you think? You know, D23 is in August. They're, you know, they only do that show every 2 years. So, of course, why would you tip your hand in July when a month later you have your own private showcase to do it at? You know, to me, that just seems to be a more sensible time to do it. So be interested to see how that plays out. And then, as you know, as we were talking, what's going to happen? We're going to be done, and the next thing you know, it's right there. It's time for D23. It's time for PAX, and wow, it's amazing how quickly it all adds up, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, guys, I think that's going to wrap us up right now. We got some definitely interesting things coming up, and we definitely have a lot of stuff we're going to be following coming up. That is for sure. I know I pretty much, I was sitting here going, I think I've got just about all of the PAX stuff. I mean, it's all of the we've done the PAX preview. We've got all of the E3 stuff pretty much wrapped up and covered now. And now it's time to just start looking at toward Comic-Con and PAX. But I can tell you this, I have heard on a very good authority that there is going to be an abundance of Star Wars at Comic-Con.
That's awesome.
Including, let's not forget, the new line of toys supporting the film are going to be out in September, the first set of them. And with that in mind, I'm going to leave this little tidbit. I did play Disney Infinity 3.0, and I was quite impressed. Got to play as Darth Maul, got to play as Anakin Skywalker, got to play as Han Solo, and of course I got to play as Boba Fett. And one of my highlights was playing as Sabine from Star Wars Rebels as I took on the Empire and the Snowwalkers and all of the, you know, the AT-ATs. And we were talking, me and the Disney rep, about, oh, the various sets that are going to be coming. And in addition to him talking about, oh, yeah, we got the Hoth set, we got this one, he goes, oh, yeah, we also have one coming out based on The Force Awakens.
Hmm.
And then, of course, there was the discussion about the time-released exclusives that are coming first to the PS4. And I was thinking to myself, that, you had me at The Force Awakens. So I almost had a very awkward question that I didn't ask, going, here's the classic Han Solo and Princess Leia. Does this mean we'll get the more seasoned versions of them in the Force Awakens set? Gray-haired Solo?
Yep.
Classic Solo. Be a very interesting little piece of collectors. And I told him, I said, you know what's so amazing about this? You're going to have people who do not play Disney Infinity at all or go out and buy these, if nothing else, just because they want to collect these figurines.
Yeah.
Well, so
true.
Great stuff, that. And with that being said, guys, I think that's maybe something we need to make an investment in doing time-wise, because I think, you know, it's definitely okay to bring the Guardians of the Galaxy and some of the Marvel guys over to the Star Wars universe, and especially with the Sandbox creators, if we can create our own sets and everything like that. And then Jen goes and surprises me, and I'm thinking, oh, is she going to be Sabine? Is she going to be Hera? Is she going to do Princess Leia? She goes, I want to play as Yoda. Okay, done. But anyway, guys, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right.